You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. It's a twisted tragedy worthy of Kafka, and it's also a legal dilemma worthy of the Harvard Law Review. But today, a federal judge in Washington, D.C. will hear the case of 17 Chinese Uyghurs who've been held at Guantanamo Bay for 7 years. The men, part of an ethnic minority in China, have been cleared for release since 2004, but the government has declined to let them go, saying they could be tortured if they returned to China. No other country has agreed to take them. George Clark joins us now. He's a lawyer with Miller and Chevalier, who represents two of the 17 Chinese Uyghurs. He will attend the 10 a.m. hearing in federal court in D.C. this morning to determine if the Uyghurs should be paroled, possibly, to the United States. Mr. Clark, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. No problem. Thanks for having me.
There are two parts to this case, as I see it. I mean, from your perspective, there's probably 30. But first of all, the circumstances as to why the 17 Chinese Uyghurs came to be held at Guantanamo. Could you remind us?
Well, they were picked up in Pakistan by bounty hunters, essentially, sold by the Pakistanians to the Afghanis, I believe, first, and then found their way into the hands of the Americans, who then brought them to Cuba.
And then eventually, in the course of the tortured due process at Guantanamo, it was determined that they were not being held on a legitimate charge, and the courts decided that there was no reason to hold them. What happened then?
Well, I think that part sort of bears a little bit of focus, too. I mean, that's only happened very recently, that the government finally conceded, after knowing that they were not enemy combatants for years, only finally conceded under court order on September 30th, so just about a week ago, that they were not enemy combatants. At that point, they were moved to a different camp within Guantanamo that is isolated from anyone who is still classified as an enemy combatant and given a modest amount of greater privileges. And so that's where they sit right now. And our hearing today at 10 is to determine, so what's next? You can't find a place for them to go. They obviously can't go back to China. So there's only really one option left, and that option is to bring them to the States.
Now, there are two issues here. One is humanitarian, and you can elaborate on that if you like. But the other one is that apparently the Bush administration is contending that the judiciary has no authority to force the U.S. government, to force the executive, to take these people into U.S. custody. This is a test of the separation of powers here. Is that how you're seeing it?
I think it absolutely is, although we certainly disagree with that position. I mean, it's a multifaceted argument. First off, there really hasn't even been an immigration determination that these people can't come to the U.S. But setting that aside, we're not asking for an immigration determination. This is a habeas judge. It's a judge that's sitting on a petition for habeas corpus, and habeas corpus is about releasing the body. So if the United States can still hold him, them, in Guantanamo, how is that releasing the body? And that federal district judge has all the power to release the body. And the only place that the government is saying he can be released is the United States, because obviously a federal district judge in the United States can't order a foreign country to take somebody.
What do your defendants want? What do your clients want?
They just want to get out of Guantanamo and not go to China, basically. That's really what they care about. You know, they love America. They've loved America for a long, long time. The big Radio Free Asia listeners, and certainly have no qualms with America. And so I think they'd be quite happy to be in America, but they'd also be happy to be in a European country. They'd be happy to be in Canada. You know, they're not particular.
To what extent can you argue in court, or will the judge allow you to argue in court, that these individuals were taken possibly as a favor to the Chinese government, and that some sort of geopolitical issue has gotten in the way of these people's freedom?
Well, I think we already have argued that to some extent. I don't know how effective it's been. I will say I think the court understands that aspect. Based on statements that Judge Urbina has made, it seems pretty clear that he understands that there's something much bigger than just these 17 individuals at stake here.
You know, finally, I mean, I know that these people were detained in Afghanistan, and the circumstances are unclear enough for the courts to rule that there's no reason for them to be held as enemy combatants. But is there anything you can tell me about their background, about their you know, activities in China. What kind of people are they?
Well, I know the two that I represent better than everybody, okay? Obviously, the other 15 I haven't personally met. I mean, I've talked to their lawyers about their facts, but my two I've met probably 8 times. And, you know, they are gentle, normal men. They are not in any sense extremists. They don't have an extremist ideology. They are people who essentially got wrapped up in something much bigger than themselves and find themselves, you know, a long ways away from home and a long ways away and not able to go back home and stuck in a U.S. military facility.
You want to handicap your chances today in court? I mean, what's likely to happen, best case, worst case scenario?
Well, best case scenario is we won't even be able to speak. Sabin Willett, who's leading the argument, will not even be able to speak, and the judge will have essentially determined that enough is enough and the time is for him to rule. Now, that ruling, I'm sure, will be appealed. There'll be a question about whether we can prevent the government from staying the effect of the order during that appeal. But that would be the best-case scenario. The worst-case scenario would be that he would determine that he can't order them released to the U.S., in which case we will appeal. So I think those are the two options. I suppose the third option is it gives the government more time. But I think at some point we've had enough time.
Well,
I think that's right now.
Well, George, thank you very much for bringing us up to date on that. George Clark is a lawyer with Miller and Chevalier, who represents two of the 17 Chinese Uyghurs held at Guantanamo Bay, now in some sort of limbo facility, and facing a court hearing in Washington, D.C. this morning.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.